Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Here's a voice I'm betting you'll recognize.
And is that sometimes true? A husband, if his wife does not make much money, then he feels that he can hit her, but if the woman ends up earning more income, then, you know, he's more careful.
That's journalist and Pulitzer Prize winner Nicholas Kristof reporting in the new PBS documentary series Half the Sky, based on the book he wrote with his wife Cheryl Wu Dunn. Half the Sky tells the story of how reversing oppression against women has produced economic opportunity for women and men the world over. But even Kristof can't tell these stories alone. He gets some help from women leaders like Hillary Clinton and Gloria Steinem, and some celebrities as well.
From what I've heard today, these women are extraordinarily hardworking. They are very proud to be the business owners and the breadwinners, as well as the homemakers. And they are proud to do this, even though their husbands often seem to me to be kind of useless.
You may recognize that voice as actress Olivia Wilde, who you may have seen in the TV shows House or The O.C., the movies Tron and the upcoming Butter. She's one of the reporter storytellers in Half the Sky who visited our studios this week. For me, it was a bit of a reunion. I worked a lot with Olivia's journalist mom, Leslie Coburn, in Conflict Zones years ago when Olivia was just a little girl. She sees her role in Half the Sky as a way of putting together the many aspects of her pretty interesting life.
It was really interesting because not only are Nick Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn a married journalist couple like my parents, but to be able to travel to Kenya came full circle for me because my mother lived in Kenya when she was 19. She's done a lot of work there as a journalist. So for me, this was kind of like a roots tour of sorts. I was not only getting to participate in this amazing documentary based on a book that really changed my life, but personally, it was a sort of coming of age. And that's why getting to participate in investigative journalism with Nick Kristof was really kind of an emotional experience, because I would be traipsing through, you know, the Kibera slums in Nairobi, understanding for the first time what my mother had spent much of her life doing.
Did you get in touch with her identity doing this? Did you think more about what it means to be an actress? Because that's sort of your thing.
Yeah, I thought a lot about what it means to be a journalist and what her identity really is made up of and what kind of person chooses that way of life. Also, being a woman in that field, I thought it really brought me closer to her in many ways. And then as far as being an actress, it absolutely made me understand the responsibility that comes from having a voice, and that this documentary was only made because of the participation of actresses is kind of extraordinary. We live in a society where people will watch things if someone they recognize, you know, stamps their approval. I'm hoping that my participation in this documentary will give people a kind of portal into a foreign world.
Who did you meet, and how did they have an impact on your life, you know, jetting around the world for very, very different reasons?
Well, I was focusing on financial empowerment, which is a segment of the larger Half the Sky argument, which is that there are several factors that could lead women and girls out of poverty in the world. So they include education, healthcare, and financial empowerment is a huge one. So we went to Kenya. We focused on microfinance. And I got to meet a woman who had benefited from one of these small, locally run microfinancing organizations called Jamii Bora. And the woman was named Jane. And she was a perfect example of how microfinance and micro savings can really work, because she was a former sex worker, HIV positive, three children, all in school, because she was able to start this business of making dresses based on one loan from this organization that turned into more and more. So she allowed us to follow her around as she bought materials, as she tried to sell them. She brought us to her home. Nick and I interviewed her about her past.
So you were a commercial sex worker from when to when?
From 94 to 98.
I'm just curious how much you were paid for that work.
50 shillings.
What I really respected about this documentary is that it wasn't suggesting that microfinance is a silver bullet, that these issues have been solved. We were just exploring one way that this was being implemented, one example, you know, microfinancing has not worked in a lot of the world, and yet it seems to be working in this community in Kenya. Why?
Up so close to this particular woman who, you know, but for an eye blink, would be a sex worker, would be enslaved. I mean, Nick would call her a slave.
Yes.
That's where she came from. What did it make you feel about what it takes to pull yourself out of that, and yet, when you're out, to still be very, very close to slipping back in?
It made me understand how precarious her existence really was, and how without the assistance of one person just believing in her, though she was an uneducated sex worker, one person giving her the opportunity to build this business was enough to give her the inner confidence to think about the future. In fact, something that's discussed in the book and the documentary is that many sex workers don't get tested for HIV until they have hopes for the future, until they have a way out. They start thinking ahead, and then they think they must start to take care of themselves. That's what happened to Jane. Once she saw a light at the end of the tunnel, that's when she was tested, realized she was HIV positive. That didn't stop her. She started this small business and continues to thrive, partially because Nick Kristof wrote an article about her business in the Times while we were in Kenya, and hundreds of dresses arrived for her to use for her business.
That's
so
amazing.
That shows you the real power of journalism.
Your mother is one of the hardest working journalists in the business. So is your dad. I think as a lot of journalists do, they just kind of keep their head down. They know they're doing something worthwhile. They're absolutely convinced of their mission. But you never really know if you're making a difference, you're causing the headline. I mean, your mom's had plenty of headlines and broken some big, big stories. But nevertheless, you never really know.
Mm.
What does it feel like as a huge international celebrity that your presence on this, not necessarily as a journalist, but your presence on this project may have more impact than your mom and dad's journalism collectively has had?
It's pretty bizarre. It doesn't seem right. I think that by bringing people into this world in Kenya, in the slums, to a microfinancing organization, into a house with a family struggling to make ends meet, if I can be the hostess, you know, then people feel that it's not, the world is not that far away, because here's this girl they recognize from somewhere and she's there, so they must exist in the same universe as this family in Kenya. I think that celebrities have a strange ability to make the world seem smaller. And I feel very lucky that I was able to participate in a small way in this documentary, because for me, the marriage of my two loves, journalism and filmmaking, is documentary filmmaking. And I think it's such a powerful tool, and it's what I really want to devote my life to, which is in a way just carrying the torch from my mother.
Well, Olivia Wilde, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Half the Sky airs on PBS on the show Independent Lens starting October 1st.